The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And you're very welcome back to the programme. Good morning if you're just joining us. Coming up shortly after the bingo numbers, we have community garda information. But as you know, yesterday on the programme, we had a representative on from the Farmers Alliance, and they called for the immediate resignation of the Agriculture Minister, Charlie McConnellogue. They were not happy with what they claimed was his representations on the nitrates issue and what have you. Now, obviously, as we do all the time, we invited the minister on to the programme, but he declined and issued this statement instead. If you're covering this issue, I'd appreciate, in the interests of balance, that this message is broadcast too. Thanks. As you know, I refuse to participate in interviews with Greg in order to make it clear to the public that I object to the way the morning show has become completely dominated by his views on the issues that the show covers. You also know that it's always been my approach to communicate and discuss issues with the public, as evidenced by my frequent interviews with the show in the past and the regular public meetings I held in parishes across the county. Now, that's fine, and I respect the minister's views in relation to that. It's not a view shared by the rest of the cabinet, though, who I've enjoyed very good interviews with Stephen Donnelly and Anne Rabbitt and Simon Harris and pretty much every councillor in the county as well. So unfortunately, thankfully, sorry, they obviously don't see it the same way. But anyway, I respect the minister's views, and that's fine. With regard to the Farmers Alliance comments, I look forward to putting my record against them at the next election, should they decide to contest an election. I note that no existing rural TD or councillor anywhere in the country has seen anything in them that would cause them to join up. I've worked hard to deliver for farmers in Donegal and continue to do so. Some of the key issues delivered to support agriculture in Donegal includes a new common agricultural policy plan that ensured farmers in Donegal and the North West were treated fairly. A new beef scheme that pays €150 per cow for the first 23 cows, compared to a payment of €90 on the first 10 cows in the scheme that it replaced. A new environmental scheme that saw funding increased by 50% and over 5,000 farmers taking part in Donegal, which is 1/9 of all participants nationally, with average payments per farm expected to be €5,500, a doubling of the payment per yo from €10 to €20. 430 investment items now available for capital investment grant aid under the TAM scheme, compared to 300 items previously. Thanks, Charlie. Okay, there you go. More than happy to put that out there. We were talking earlier on to John McLaughlin about lorry drivers and the fact that he believes under 21 should be allowed to drive HGVs. Ask him how many hours you need to work to get €1,200 a week. Yeah, I'd be interested in that myself. Another, being involved in a collision first doesn't mean you were responsible for that collision. I was involved in a few. Thankfully, none were my fault. Another, if bus operators and haulage companies paid a proper wage, you wouldn't need teenagers driving HGVs. Another here, any young person, be it male or female, who's grown up on a farm is well capable of driving tractors or lorries. I myself have been driving since I was 8 years old. Common sense prevails. Another, it's not right targeting young male and females that are driving tractors or lorries. There are more accidents to do with cars than larger vehicles. It's people driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol is the problem. Okay, thank you very much indeed for that. Greg, at what point do we, the native Irish, wake up and realise that our country is now full up, despite what our government will say? We can't take in non-vetted adult men forever. Time to close our doors, they believe. It depends when, I suppose, are you talking about full in terms of the amount of people you can fit into the country? Obviously, we're still miles behind pre-famine population. Or are you talking about services and what have you? And is it exclusive to men, or are you on about all people coming here to whatever they're fleeing? Greg, I'm trying over 18 months to get planning on my own land close to the family and cannot get it. Northerners with plenty of money building all around the same area, no issue with planning and selling houses as soon as it's built. Planning in Donegal is a joke, and they believe it's... Well, I can't say what they believe is the cause of that. It's terrible that people can't get planning close to their home. Did you bring out one of the... For a pre-planning meeting, did they say why? Is it because there are other properties available to purchase in the local area? Is it because of the design of the property? I wonder what the reasons they're giving you are. Who is paying for the costs involved in taking in migrants? Us, the taxpayer. Europe, if Europe is it, and European taxpayers, which we are. Please read out these comments. Okay, I've read it out. There you go. How do I get the phone number of Fastway in Letterkenny? I got an email saying a parcel was delivered to my home and signed for, but it wasn't. There's no phone number on the website and they haven't answered any emails. Am I the only one with this problem? Well, not really, because I'm not exclusive to that company, but you see regularly on social media, it will pop up saying, do you know the number for the local delivery driver of a particular company? Right, okay, listen, thanks for all of your comments coming in. Lots of you getting involved in the conversation about lowering the age potentially for HGV licences. But we are going to take a break, and what we will do is come back with Community Guard information. Garda Charlene's going to be in with us with the latest information and appeals, where you can hear them first on Highland Radio here in the 9 till noon show every Tuesday. Okay, it is time for Community Garda information. We're joined in studio this week by Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson. Charlene, thank you so much for your time today, as always.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you so much. Okay. As I said a little earlier on, we do have some information, some advice for you and some upcoming events, but we will start with the appeals when we can hear Charlene. And we'll start with that one, the criminal damage in Killybegs.
That's correct, Greg. So Gardaí in Killybegs are investigating the circumstances surrounding a house fire that occurred on the Donegal Road in Killybegs, and that was near the graveyard on Friday, the 1st of December. So Gardaí were alerted to the fact that a vacant house was on fire shortly after 10 p.m. on that date. Now, the fire service attended the scene and extinguished the flames, but the house was destroyed as a result of the fire. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. So the possibility that the fire may have been started deliberately has not been ruled out. And this morning, we're appealing to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity on the Donegal Road in Killybegs last Friday between 8 p.m. and 10 p.m. to make contact with Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 0719858530. Or alternatively, they can contact the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111.
OK, we'll stay with criminal damage and go to Letterkenny now, Charlene.
So Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating an incident of criminal damage which occurred at Beechwood Road, Letterkenny, on Sunday the 3rd of December, and this was shortly after 6 p.m. Now, we understand that three youths were seen throwing stones at a house, and one of the stones hit the glass in the door of the house, causing it to smash. So we just appeal to anyone who may have seen the youths, anyone who may have been in the area with any information in relation to this particular incident, to contact Gardaí and Letterkenny on 9167 100.
Now, unfortunately, we've appeals as it relates to a number of burglaries. You might give us some advice that might be useful for us going forward. But first, we'll start with the incident in Letterkenny, if that's okay, in Knocknamona Road Park.
That's correct. So Gardaí in Letterkenny are investigating a burglary that occurred at Knocknamona Park on Tuesday, the 28th of November, at approximately 5:15 p.m. Now, a resident of the property was upstairs in their home when they were disturbed by an intruder. The intruder ran down the stairs and jumped out a window and left the scene. Now, we understand that nothing was stolen and no property was damaged. But the man in question was described as being approximately 5'10" in height, skinny with short dark hair, and was wearing a black top and black coloured jeans. So we appeal to anyone who may have observed a man of this description in the area to make contact with us. And we'd also appeal to anyone who may have travelled in the area and perhaps has dash cam footage that would make that available to Gardaí in Letterkenny if possible.
Now to convoy now, Charlene.
That's correct. So this is another appeal in relation to a burglary. So we're just appealing for information in relation to the burglary that is believed to have occurred in the area of Carrick Brack Convoy on Wednesday, the 29th of November, between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m. Now, we understand that entry was gained to an unlocked shed at a house in that area between those times. Nothing was stolen from the shed, but we'd appeal to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity in the Carrick Brack area or indeed the surrounding areas during those times, and that was between 3 and 5 p.m., to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
And to Muff now.
To Muff. So Gardaí in Buncrana are investigating a burglary which happened at Knowhead Road, Muff, between 9 p.m. on Friday the 1st and 9 a.m. on Saturday the 2nd of December. Now, entry was gained to a shed by forcing the locks, and it would appear, again, that nothing was stolen in relation to this particular burglary. But we'd appeal to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity in the area to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540.
And another incident in Muff, if I'm correct.
That's correct. So another incident, another burglary that occurred at Lenamore Muff on Saturday, the 2nd of December, between 7 a.m. and 7:30 a.m. Now, entry was gained to a farm shed after the locks were forced. A number of power tools were stolen from the shed, and they were a black and green Hiltie SDS Max Tango drill, a black and green Hitachi impact drill, a black and green Hitachi impact gun and a black and green Hiltie cordless grinder. So significant number of power tools taken in this burglary, Greg. So again, this morning, we just appeal to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity or any suspicious maybe vehicles in the area to contact Gardaí in Buncrana 9320540. And once again, anyone that might have travelled in the area between Lennimore and Muff between 7 and 8 a.m., they may have dash cam footage. It could be very relevant to this particular investigation, or indeed any of the ones that I've spoken about, to contact Gardaí in Buncrana.
Yeah, and don't curate the information yourself. Anything at all, even if it seems insignificant, pass it on to Gardaí. It could be a vital part of that investigation. And there is a mix in the burglaries there: unoccupied, occupied, outbuildings, sheds. And there's, you know, quite a few that you've highlighted there. So obviously those in the criminal community, very active at the moment, and we have to best protect ourselves, Charlene.
That's correct. And you can see from the appeals, they're happening at all different times of the day. It's not just nighttime. You know, and I think sometimes we do think that it's just nighttime that these incidents occur, early in the morning, during the day, houses that are unoccupied. I suppose, look, in light of the increase in thefts and burglaries around this time of year, we just encourage homeowners to review their security regularly. You know, light up, lock up. It's so important. Whether you're at home, when you're leaving the house, make sure that there's a light on. Lock your doors and windows. It is, we do forget. You know, even your car, if it's parked on your street or it's parked outside, sometimes we come home, get out of the car and go into the house. But it's just important that we're just being cognizant.
Yeah, because even in that one that happened between 3 and 5 in the afternoon, it could have been heading off to pick the kids up from school and grab a few bits and home in the middle of the day. Why would you lock the door, some might feel? But clearly, you know, I'm not saying that's the case in this case. I don't know the background to that. But I'm trying to give a real world example of stuff we quite easily might do.
And that's it. And look, a lot of these incidents are opportunistic crimes. Someone just sees an opportunity and it doesn't really matter what time of the day or night. You know, they're just going to, I suppose, take advantage of that. So it's really, look, if you have an alarm, put your alarm on if you're leaving the house. Some of these alarms can actually be, you can turn them on when you're inside the house too. But it's, and then you knock off the different sensors for use. I suppose, look, if you have keys, don't leave them on your hall table. Maybe store them away. Keep large amounts of cash and jewellery. You know, in, maybe if you have a safe or somewhere secure in the house, ensure that your exterior, you know, your lights and your sheds, ensure the lights are on. If you have sheds or outbuildings, maybe ensure that they're locked.
And I think what's clear too from some of the appeals that, you know, obviously sometimes the shed might be closed, others it might be locked. They are prepared to break the lock open. And a lot of people perhaps have stuff that's even more valuable in the shed than might be in the house. So we have to start looking at our outbuildings, you know, as if they are houses in terms of lighting and, you know, sensors or whatever it might be, clearly, because the criminals are targeting them.
Absolutely. And a lot of times people would get a house alarm and ensure that everything's secure in the house. And then they have, as you rightly said there, a lot of their valuables there. We spoke about drills being taken this morning.
Thousands of euro stuff, I would say.
And, you know, there could be in a shed and perhaps there is no lock on the shed. So it's just, look, it's really just to be mindful. I suppose we're all guilty of it at times, whether it is driving our car into the drive, jumping out, going into the house, not locking the car. And then I suppose overnight you might forget about it and someone sees an opportunity. So,
you know, and also too, we kind of perhaps are feel secure in the knowledge that everyone associate or everyone we're friends with or who can access our social media are actually our friends and people that might care about us, but clearly not. There are people who harvest and pass on this information. I know that myself as a fact. We really have to be careful, don't we, with how we use social media, because the modern criminal will use that information.
Absolutely. And particularly, you know, when people are going on holidays as well, they're posting about it before they go. And then when they're away, they're posting about it. And I suppose people see opportunities there. So even in that regard, if someone would want to contact or notify Gardaí that they're going to be away for a period, whether that's a couple of weeks, we can ensure that proactive patrols are conducted in the area. It's just little things, but I suppose collectively, you know, it can help somebody.
Yeah, for sure. And I just wonder sometimes, are we as a population as much the eyes and ears of the community, you know, to pass on important information to the Gardaí, or you know, to keep an eye out on our neighbours, or, you know, we don't want to be accused of curtain twitching, if you know what I mean. But I think it really is important that we keep an eye on our communities and pass on any information that we think is, even if we think it's a little bit suspicious, it's up to the Gardaí then to decide what to do with that information.
Absolutely. And I would encourage people to contact us if they do, you know, if they see something suspicious or they think something's not right, or perhaps even at this time of year, they mightn't have seen someone for a couple of days. You know, people are suffering isolation, loneliness. There's all that in the mix as well. If it means a garage doing a welfare call to see if somebody's all right, or indeed if it's a car that's up and down the road and someone says that car is, it's not familiar, it shouldn't be around here, ring it in. It's no harm getting these things checked out. That's our job. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. And look, we're here and we're happy to help.
Now, as sure as a gun fires bullets, over the Christmas period, someone will be going into a shop. They'll pick up a 500 or 600 euro electrical item. They'll put it in the boot. They'll move to the next shop or whatever. Someone may well be watching them. They know that item's in there. It might be very clear what it is. I'm thinking a game console or something like that. Mm-hmm. I think we talk about that every year. We have to be really careful. And it's horrible because people don't want to sometimes feel that things are the way they are, but they've always been this way. We have to be really careful with how we shop as well. We did mention this a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's a really a good reminder as people really ramp up the Christmas shopping.
Yeah, well, first of all, it would just ensure that your vehicle is locked.
Yeah,
I think that's a big
one.
Thing, or that the windows are up. You know, you can hop out the vehicle and maybe the back window is down or something, it transpires later. It valuables, try and, you know, put them in the boot if you can at all. Keep them out of sight, out of mind. And again, back to this opportunistic thing. Someone's passing by, they see an opportunity and they see something and they just want it, break the window and they take it. So out of sight, out of mind, lock it in the boot. Any expensive gifting or... if possible, try and leave it to last, to the end of your shopping, that you're not, we'll say shopping, you're out shopping the whole day, you're going back to your car and putting things in, and the next thing you're back at the end of the day and half of it is gone. So look, just to try and park somewhere where there's lights, try and park somewhere where it's secure as best as possible, or that there's cameras, CCTV, ensure your windows and doors are locked. If you have valuable items, put them perhaps in the boot, as I said, out of sight, out of mind. All those little things, Greg, are so important. And of course, absolutely report any thefts or suspicious activities in car parks to the guards, and we'll investigate that.
Yeah, it has to be done. Okay, I wouldn't mind a quick chat with you about the Ask for Angela campaign, because I know this is something that you're very passionate about, as many of your colleagues are as well. We've spoke about it in the past, and especially coming into the party stroke Christmas season, it might be even particularly more relevant. So could you give us a bit of a background to it and how it works and who's involved in it, please, Charlene?
Yeah, so last year we launched the Ask for Angela campaign in Donegal. It's a collaboration with ourselves and Garda Síochána, the Vintners, the Hoteliers Federation and the Joint Policing Committee. The Ask for Angela campaign, Greg, it's a safety initiative. It's coordinated to keep people safe across Donegal. So again, this year we're just... it's just a renewed focus, I suppose. Look, we're coming into the Christmas and New Year period. We have a lot of people going out socialising again. There's Christmas parties and people are out and about. So it's just really to, as I said, put a renewed focus on the campaign as we seek to just to ensure people that when they are out, that there is help if they find themselves in an unsafe or vulnerable situation. The initiative encourages individuals to approach a member of staff in any licensed premises that supports the Ask for Angela campaign. The licensed premises will have posters or stickers and it will say Ask for Angela. I suppose the increase in online dating as well. People might be speaking online for a while and then they go and they meet up for the first time. And perhaps they feel unsafe or there's something just not right and they want to get out of that situation. And it's at that point that they could go to the bar and ask for Angela and staff will know what to do, whether that's to remove them from the situation, allow them to make a phone call, perhaps contact somebody for them. Or if it got to the stage, depending on the severity of it, they might have to remove somebody from the premises or indeed contact ourselves. But look, there is help out there. That's the most important thing. And it's just to add that reassurance to people that when they are out and about, that if they do find themselves in an unsafe or vulnerable situation, go to the bar in any of these premises that supports the Ask for Angela campaign. And as I said, the Vintners Association are involved with it, the Hoteliers Federation, the Joint Policing Committee, and indeed ourselves, and Ask for Angela.
Yeah, and I'm sure they are as well, but I mean, there might be seasonal staff that weren't around this time last year, just for managers, bar managers, hotel managers, whatever. It's just to remind staff about the initiative, because the last thing we'd ever want, and I'm sure it wouldn't happen, is that someone did ask and, you know, the message didn't get across. Did you get any sort of, have you had any anecdotal evidence of the use of this locally? Or
no individual cases, to be honest, Greg.
Because it won't always come to the attention of Gardaí, of course.
Well, that's
yeah,
it.
Exactly, yeah.
I suppose just in general conversation, it's received very positively,
okay.
Which is a good thing. And just as you were saying, we might have new staff this year in different premises or seasonal staff. Last week, I sent out packs to all the licensed premises that are aligned with the Vintners and the Hoteliers Federations across Donegal. The packs have gone out, the posters, the information for staff. You know, they're laminated for staff, as
brilliant.
You can see there, and
yeah.
the posters will be displayed. So it's again, it's just a renewed focus on the Ask for Angela
it's
campaign.
So important. It's
and
so
it's
important.
Just about keeping people safe across Donegal.
Exactly. Yeah, and it is, it's really important. Okay, finally, the Rathmullen Polar Plunge is back. It takes place on the 7th. I'm shivering just thinking about it myself. Talk to me. It's actually, I was at it and it's fantastic fun and a great spirit that would warm the cockles of your heart. Not much else, but but it would warm your heart. But anyway, talk to us about what's coming up on December 9th.
So there's a number of Gardaí members from the Donegal division and they'll once again get chilly in the swilly. At the Rathmullen Polar Plunge.
I love it.
At the Rathmullen Polar Plunge on Saturday, the 9th of December. And it's all in aid of Special Olympics Ireland. Now, the plunge will kick off at 2 p.m. and we hope that a big crowd will come along and support all those who are taking part in the Polar Plunge. And I suppose, look, the Special Olympics athletes show courage and bravery and determination in their sports on a daily basis, Greg. And we're delighted to be able, in some small way, to support these inspirational people. So a full day of festivities has been planned from 12 to 5 with something to suit everyone from Christmas fairs to arts and crafts, music, entertainment. And of course, Santa and Mrs. Claus will be there as well. So look, we encourage everyone to wrap up, I suppose, and come along and enjoy the fun on the
wrap
day.
Wrap up and then strip off. It is actually, it is fantastic fun and a lot of businesses get involved into it and sort of people that you might recognise. And as I say, it's a fantastic thing for a fantastic cause. Have you ever done it?
No, I haven't, but I've been down to support them and that's
yeah,
so important
that's,
as well,
that's,
of course,
you're,
with three jackets
never,
on and a hat and a
you're
scarf.
You're never short of support. I'm saying, have you done it?
No, I haven't.
Have you any intention of doing it? Not even this year, but in years to come?
I'll have to, the jury's out.
Right,
I support it, definitely.
Okay, exactly. Rathmullen Polar Plunge, it's on December 9th. It's a fantastic day. It's on from 12 to 5, so get down at some point over those 5 hours. Because it's edging closer to Christmas and there's a great Christmas buzz about it too. And it's really good fun to see people in really uncomfortable situations. All right, we'll be back with more shortly. Just to remind you that Community Garda information is back with you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Garda Sergeant Charlene Anderson, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
Okay, we do with quite a lot of statistics on this programme, but this is one that genuinely surprised me. 83% of guide dog and assistance dog owners have had a negative experience in the last year when trying to access and participate in services and amenities. This, of course, despite being legally entitled to do so. It's a new survey. The findings are contained within a new survey by the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind. Lane Kennedy is Advocacy and Policy Officer with the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind and joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having us on this morning.
Yeah, it probably didn't come as a surprise to the IGDB, but, you know, over 8 in 10 people having negative experiences, it really did surprise me, Lane.
Yes, and it's very frustrating and distressing for blind and vision impaired people getting out and about with a guide dog as a mobility aid. For families that have an autistic child and they're using an assistance dog as a safety aid for their child so that they're able to get out and about independently as a family unit. It's very distressing to them and very frustrating that there seems to be, the survey shows that there is a significant lack of awareness amongst staff working in all types of businesses. The incidents they report cover transport companies such as taxis, hospitality industries such as hotels and B&Bs, some medical centres and shops and pubs and so on. And really across the board, employers need to check in with all their staff, their new staff and their existing staff and say, are you aware that guide dogs and assistance dogs when assisting their owner are entitled to be on their place of business?
Yeah, and it's not just private businesses as well. There's one story quoted to try and get the message out there, where someone was denied entry to a hospital.
Yes, in that instance, it was a young person who has a guide dog as their mobility aid. They're in the hospital centre with their mother. The mother needed care, and they were approached by the staff. And what was particularly frustrating to that guide dog owner was that the staff kept speaking to the mother. They weren't even addressing wow. her personally and asking her about her rights. So that was very frustrating at the time. But the guide dogs are allowed into all the public areas in a hospital, like anywhere other people can go in a hospital. Someone with a guide dog or an assistance dog can go as well. So that was very distressing for her when she's there supporting her mother, and her mother needed medical attention.
Yeah, and it happens so frequently too. It must be tiresome. It must feel humiliating. It must feel degrading. Tiresome to have to keep making the argument to try and convince someone of your rights, that really at this point you would hope that education and training has been put in place. A lot of this, most of this, all of this is completely avoidable.
It is really, it's like a key aspect that we're finding in the survey is that a third of the access incidents reported were resolved at the time when the guide dog owner or assistant dog owner asked to speak with the manager, and then the manager was able to speak with the staff at the time and say, no, look, our policy is guide dogs are allowed in place. And of course, the policy should be there catering for all people and making it aware that it is pure discrimination to stop someone coming into their establishment with a guide dog or an assistance dog. A quarter of the incidents reported, though, could not be resolved on the spot. So even senior management didn't seem to be aware of the rights of someone with a guide dog and assistance dog, that essentially they deserve the same level of customer care as any other person. There are no restrictions on the guide dog or an assistance dog. They are permitted onto all public places. And we really are using this campaign as an opportunity to open up our avenues in terms of like encouraging businesses to go to our website, guidedogs.ie, go direct to the advocacy page. There's a number of access guides up there geared towards different sectors of businesses, such as transport, including information for taxis and so on, such as hospitality, the hotels, B&Bs and so on, such as food businesses, restaurants, shops, across all the board. So the information is there. The access guides are there. And what's great about the access guides is that they go more than explaining the rights that someone with a guide dog has. It also gives really good information on the extra positive steps that a business can take to make their businesses and their services more accessible to people with a guide dog or an assistance dog. Another key message that we would like people and businesses to take on board is if you need more information, do get in touch. Email access@guidedogs.ie and we will pick up their access regulation requirement and their query and work with them to ensure that they have the right policy in place.
Yeah, but I mean, I know it doesn't, there's a lot of what I'm going to mention or some of the what I'm going to mention doesn't necessarily apply to all the people that you would speak on behalf of. But when you just run through your head in terms of, you know, people parking in spaces or spaces not available for people with a disability, hedges hanging out over footpaths, people parking on footpaths, street furniture, sandwich boards, how tables and chairs are arranged at the entrance of a business, and on and on and on it goes. You know, it is no surprise that people contact the likes of this program to say, I just don't leave the house anymore because it's too much of a hassle. That's how isolating and discriminating the world can seem to people.
Well, Greg, you are raising a very important point there, and our own service users do experience those issues as well. People who are blind and vision impaired also do have a disability parking pass. Obviously, the person driving the car uses it, and they have the right to use accessible parking as well, and they encounter those issues. In terms of overhanging hedges, that is a huge frustration for people who are blind and vision impaired. And also cars parking on the footpath as well. People need to be more aware. Number one, cut back hedges on your garden if they're like infringing on the public footpath. Do not park on the pavement. Really think before you park. To give you some examples, Some of our service users, guide dog owners and assistance dog owners, are often forced to turn around and go back home when their pathway, their travel of path is blocked by people not considering the needs of everyone in their community. So there does seem to be a lack of consideration for all people in the community, and that the issues that impact on people with disabilities, when we work on them and when we work together as a community and with the local authority and with all the with everyone that has that can influence to improve community access and also access to businesses, you're not only helping people with a disability such as a vision impairment or a mobility impairment in your area. You will find that this assists everyone. Like, think of parents that have a buggy and they have a family and they're trying to get to and from school. Their pathway is also blocked
and
as well.
And dog fouling as well is a big issue. And also recently we had to platform a lady campaigning for crossings in Letterkenny, the biggest town in Ireland, that there was an audio assistance that people would know when the lights were green to go to cross the road stuff. It's just amazing that in 2023 the challenges that people are facing, that really it shouldn't be an issue if we were as caring a society as we like to make out we are sometimes. And finally, you talked about information being available, but a lot of the issues that we seem to be talking about here are based off sort of ignorance or a lack of legislation or a lack of what you should be knowing what you should be doing. Do we need to be more proactive? I know you're doing so through programs like this, but I don't know if there's an agency of the government or maybe the likes of IBEC for businesses or the Retail Association for shops. I don't know, for them to get on board with this and to start contacting their members so that ignorance can't be a defence?
There are a number of avenues. Like, for instance, the Food Safety Authority and the Environmental Health Officers regulations, they could ensure, review their practices and make sure, are we making businesses aware, all businesses aware, that guide dogs and assistance dogs are permitted onto all public places? That's one aspect. State parties should look at their, like, where they can influence regulations as well. Like, they can look at examining the Equal Status Act as one example and broadening out the influence of that act, such as ensuring that there is an enforcement on businesses to have an inclusion officer on their team so that they look at all aspects that affect diversity in the community and to make sure that they're ensuring that discrimination is not happening to anyone in the general population, you know, especially including people with a disability and elderly people and families and so on. But there is an opportunity here that we can pick up on, and it can happen working with state parties, working with local authorities, working with the organisations that you suggested there, IBEC and so on, that really, for people to pick up the pace here and say there is a gap here. And the disabled community in the last census makes up 22% of the population. In the previous 2016 census, it was 13%. But just because we're like the people with disabilities are a marginalised, smaller group in the population, doesn't mean that they should be forgotten about, and that people need to recognise that when their needs are taken care of and addressed, society is easier and it's actually more user-friendly and more accessible for everyone.
Thank you so much for your time today, and I hope the message gets across, because, you know, I think we'd all want to... I don't think anyone purposely wants to be discriminating or excluding people in this fashion. Thank you so much for your time. That's Lane Kennedy there, Advocacy and Policy Officer with the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind. Maybe you've experienced that and you can give us some, you know, real-world examples. 08660 25,000. Hi, Greg. Totally agree with Minister McConnell Logue. Very childish behaviour. You have a very fair, non-biased view to comments and interviews on the show. Sorry to say the Minister has done, well, this person believes, nothing for Donegal. I've listed off what he believes they've done, or she believes they've done, only for farmers. Greg Edward here. You can get a licence for an articulated HGV at 18 with a CPC. 21 without CPC. Without CPC, you can't get paid. So there you go. There's no reason why women drivers shouldn't get the same money as men, considering they do the same job every bit as well. It is a peculiar one that I can't understand why they might get paid less. Lorry owners, believes this caller, are the worst payers. I know several lorry drivers who are owed hundreds in wages. Many are getting cash in hand, so they can't make an issue of it. Drivers getting €1,700 per week is nonsense. In fact, for the hours they work, their hourly rate is very low. I listen to you every day, and as a woman over 70, I think it's disgraceful that the minister has just decided to not engage with the only media I listen to. You raise all the issues relative to me in the county. Thank you, and I hope you, because I've go out of my way to platform the issues as much as is possible. Like, say, for instance, just to give an insight, this is the way I'd see it, is, like, say an issue on the hospital. Like, you know, we accept that. And not to bring that up again, but we accept that, you know, a lot of people have really good experiences down there. The staff are fantastic. The consultants are fantastic and everything is fantastic. But there are issues that need to be highlighted. So we've platformed those to try and help. Hopefully we contributed to the minister coming up and meeting with consultants and GPs. That does not mean that you're anti-government. That means you're pro the people, pro the improvement of services. As I said to Minister Donnelly here, I'm not the enemy. We're to work together to try and to get to where we all want to be. And he said that. He says, I know you're not. It's not my motivation. And, you know, but you still need programs where you're not afraid to ask questions, because, you know, some of it seems very PR that you hear elsewhere. I've heard of young people going to Australia for short periods, getting a HGV or bus license. They return here, bring the license to the tax office and get an Irish license. No lessons, no test required. Can you check if this is happening? I don't know. I mean, it would not be unusual, would it, for a license from another country if the country is established to have a robust testing system that their license would be recognised here. Is that controversial? I'm not sure. But anyway, we'll throw it out there. Someone's bound to have the answer to that. God knows so many people have left and hopefully quite a few have come back as well. We had a fantastic entrance yesterday to our competition in association with our friends at Cadbury. A huge response. So we want to match that today, if you don't mind. We're asking you to share with us why you want to secretly send chocolate to someone special in your life this year. What makes them deserving of a Cadbury Secret Santa bar? Tell us about a person in your life who deserves this surprise treat through the post. But be sure to keep it a secret, and we'll keep it a secret too. So call or text in your reason to 086 60 25000. 086 60 25000. And just let us know who in your life deserves this beautiful Cadbury Secret Santa bar. Text or WhatsApp your reason, name and address to 086 60 25000. Now the prize is a cracker. For nominating, you'll be entered into our draw for a Cadbury hamper. We've got one to give away today, so one of you will win this beautiful big hamper today. And the person you nominate will also receive a Cadbury Secret Santa bar. Now, we heard yesterday about a wonderful lady in her 80s, I believe it was, who contributes so much to her family and her community, and someone just wanted to say thanks to her. That's the kind of stuff we're listening for. Could be anyone in your life for any reason. So nominate your person and why. Text or WhatsApp the reasons, name and address, your name and address, to 086 60 25000. You could win that brilliant Cadbury hamper for nominating, and the person you nominate will receive a lovely Cadbury Secret Santa bar as a wee surprise for them. All right, get your entries in now. It's free to enter, of course, and we appreciate Cadbury in helping us to bring that bit of joy to some of you this Christmas. Now, we've got another hamper tomorrow and one the day after, and a €250 shopping voucher on Friday. So loads to win over the course of this week.